This meeting is now being recorded.
Now I'll stop it.
This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, Paul. I'm happy to take roll now for you.
Thank you.
Chair Tess is present. Regent Sheehy?
Present.
Thank you. Regent Johnstone?
Present.
Thank you. Regent Albrecht?
Present.
Thank you. Regent Williams was excused from this call. You have Commissioner Christian present. And that is everyone.
And that is everybody. Thank you very much. On today's agenda, we do have one action item that I'm assuming most folks have in front of them, which is the campus allocation recommendations from the Office of Commissioner of Higher Education. And so with the announcement of that action item, Commissioner, can I turn the call over to you at this point?
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Tess. So what we have for you to take action on today is the campus allocation, and it varies from what we did at the meeting at Flathead Valley Community College in that this breaks out each side. So at the May meeting in Kalispell, we approved the budget as to what went to the UM side and what went to the MSU side. And then according to board policy, the presidents have discretion to work with their teams in deciding how their allocations will be split amongst the individual campuses of the UM and MSU sites. And so that has been done since the meeting and is in front of you today. The presidents, according to the policy, have some discretion to allocate that, working with their teams, and then it's approved by the board. And so that's what is in front of you. And I could ask the presidents, if you'd like, Mr. Chair, to give us a little bit of an overview or someone from their offices as to what methodology they used to divide those amongst their campuses.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. I think that would be helpful. Perhaps we can start with the University of Montana. President Engstrom?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. So the allocation methodology that we have used to distribute our resources among the four UM affiliate campuses is as follows. Going back a number of years, those allocation percentages, basically the percentage of the UM side of the lump sum, had been determined pretty much on an FTE enrollment model. And so the percent allocations were tied to the percent of the FTE enrollment on the UM side. That had been a number of years since being set. And so a year ago, we undertook an examination of those distribution percentages. And that examination was based on how our per student funding relates to or compares to peer institutions of the appropriate type. And so each of our institutions identified a set of peer institutions around the region, around the country, to look at how our funding on a per student basis compared to that set of peer institutions. So just as an example, the University of Montana in Missoula used as a set of peer institutions universities around the country that are flagship institutions in low population states, the states of population 2 million or less. And that was our peer set. Montana Tech used a peer set that included those science and engineering campuses similar to themselves, South Dakota School of Mines, Missouri School of Mines and Technology, or whatever the appropriate names were, and so on. So each of our four institutions put together a set of what they considered peer institutions. Then we compared our per student funding to the average of those peer institutions to see just how we lined up. And what we found was that some of our institutions were much closer to their peers in terms of a per student funding model than other institutions. And so looking at those disparities, which ranged from, say, 65% or so of peer institutions to 80-some percent of peer institutions, can we make some minor adjustments to start to move those institutions that are further away from their peers closer to their peers? And so we agreed to make some adjustment, but it turns, I mean, in reality, we made very minor adjustments because the amount of money that had to be moved is pretty large to even those out. But at least conceptually, we moved in that direction. So the allocations that you have before you for approval essentially reflect this three-year rolling average of enrollment modified a small amount by that per student funding analysis that we did last year. So the result is the numbers that you have before you. The four campuses have gone through this in great detail, and this is the allocations that they are expecting then.
President Engstrom, Chair Tuss, may I ask a question?
Yes, Regent Albrecht.
President Engstrom, can you speak to how, if at all, this relates to the instructor-to-student ratio when considering the money, the funds spent per student?
Regent Albrecht, members of the board, these numbers aren't specifically set on student-instructor ratios. They are informed by at least overall spending per student. And our spending is, as you know, largely personnel-based. While we didn't use an instructor to an instructor to student ratio specifically in setting these, we did use an overall funding per student model to set these. Now, within the individual campuses, they are in fact paying attention to faculty to student ratios and how they distribute the money internal to campus. So, for example, here at Missoula, we have adopted essentially a target of 18-1 as our student to faculty ratio, and again, that is based on looking at that peer set that I was referring to earlier. So each campus kind of has that student to faculty ratio appropriate for their campus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Additional questions perhaps for President Engstrom on the UM side of this allocation conversation?
Chair Tuss and President Engstrom, this is Bill Johnstone. Can you comment on the relationship between the growth or the attrition of FTEs and the percentage increases that we're seeing? There doesn't seem to be any relationship that I can see. And perhaps that's because the principal driver was peer institutions. But, for example, the University of Montana, if I'm doing the math right, has had about a 10% reduction in three-year average headcount from the prior biennium to the current biennium, but a 4.3% increase in allocation per FTE. Any color or flavor on that, President Engstrom?
Regent Johnstone, members of the board, yes. Thanks for the question. So there are two parts to this question. So one part, if you look at the percentage of the enrollment in the UM affiliation right now, UM Missoula has 69.26% of the enrollment, but we are allocating only 67.41% of the budget to UM Missoula. So that does come out, that does relate to then the second point, that in that peer analysis, it was UM Missoula that was in the 65% range of its peers, far lower than the other three institutions relative to their peers. And so historically, we have arrived at a point where we are on a per student basis sort of farther away from the norms for a Missoula-type institution than we are for the other three institutions. Not that any of them are overfunded by any means, but it was the Missoula campus that was noticeably further away from peers than the other campuses. So even though the enrollment at Missoula has been decreasing and the percentage of the budget has stayed pretty constant, we haven't really increased it very much. Again, going back to that peer analysis, we tried to make the adjustment to get Missoula a little bit closer to that peer analysis group. But still, the percentage of the enrollment at Missoula is higher than the percentage of the allocation of the money.
Okay. Thank you. Chair Tuss, I had just, if I could, one other question.
Yes, Regent Johnston.
Could, and perhaps this is for the commissioner, but is there any possibility to or need for adjustments in this after the first year of the biennium, or is this fixed for both years? And if enrollments would change significantly or other factors that influence this would change during the biennium, would there be any change in these allocations, Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Regent Johnstone, our policy basically does fix those allocations for the biennium, and it does so based on a policy change that we adopted in 2013, which takes into account a rolling average from, I believe, three previous years. And so those calculations are done, and the funding at that point in time is somewhat fixed, and so we've at least from the state, because remember we're dividing up what was appropriated to us in the 15th session now, and so those funds are generally allocated just one time for the biennium, and that's the way our policy reads at this point in time.
And then just maybe one clarification, so that what we are being asked to do today is to approve the dollar lump sum allocation, not the per FTE allocation, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions for the University of Montana or President Engstrom? Hearing none, President Cruzado, can we turn it over to you for your side of the equation?
Good morning, Chair Tuss and members of the board. This is Terry Lease, and President Cruzado sends her regrets that she wasn't able to join the call today. But our model for the MSU campuses, we established a new model prior to the FY13 allocation. So it's been in place one full biennium now. And we also went back and did some benchmarking along with the financial folks on each campus and the dean and chancellors at those locations, and all came up with an agreement. Essentially, we went back and looked at where the campuses had been during a more stable period where enrollment growth was relatively even, and we felt like versus post-recession where the enrollment was going up and down quite a bit. So we looked at FY 2005 to 2009 and looked at the percentage of allocation that went to each campus based on the percentage of the whole. And so our model incorporates some adjustments going forward, not all in one time period, but over a period of time to move people back to those allocation levels that we all agreed were the sort of the stable period, the benchmark time period. And then we also make adjustments if there's a change in the shift in FTE based on the MUS calculation, meaning from the U of M side to the MSU side or vice versa. Any adjustments in those then are applied based on the percent of total allocation to each campus. And we take into consideration FTE, student FTE changes within our side of the system and apply those. And at the end of the day, after that, it's just making adjustments. The pay plan is we take care of the campuses that really the Billings and Great Falls and Northern try to give them the full resident WUI share, knowing that if we need to have a non-resident help out with that, we have more opportunity to do so here on the Bozeman campus. And then any specific allocated items that were appropriated through the legislature for specific campuses, of course, those will flow through directly to those campuses. But other than that, that's the general method. And again, this has been in place for a couple of years now. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Terry.
Chair Truss, I have one question. I understand that your methodology is different from the University of Montana's methodology?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Regent Johnstone. Yeah, so rather than using, if I understand, U of M's methodology is that they selected peer groups for each campus to use as their benchmark, whereas we went back, again, to this period 2005 to 2009, and let's just hypothetically say that Billings received on average over that time period 30% of the MSU side of the allocation, and if they had grown over the last number of years to be something different than that, then we're moving them back toward that 30%. It also takes into account looking at the funding per student. So we used more of an internal process for benchmarking, whereas, if it's my understanding is correct, University of Montana is using an external benchmark.
Commissioner, if I could ask one more question.
Yeah.
Commissioner, what's the justification or the rationale for having different allocation methodologies between the two parts of the system? Is it because we think that the two parts are materially different and therefore justify a different allocation, or what's the reason for that?
Chair Tess, Regent Johnstone, that's part of the policy change that we adopted in 2013, and I think there was all of those things. I don't think they're materially different, but they have nuances that are different. And ultimately, I think the discussion at the board level centered around the notion of letting the presidents manage their campuses and the lump fund to benefit the campuses on each side as they saw fit. There was a couple years that we sort of worked on these changes, and lots of discussion along the way, but in the end, that's kind of what we settled on, is that the commissioner's office, in a pretty formulaic approach, by FTE divides the lump between U of M and MSU campuses, and then the language in there says each president will be responsible for recommending the allocation of funding to their respective affiliate campuses. So we really kind of came down to the notion of let the presidents manage those funds as they saw fit.
Thank you.
Additional questions from the board for MSU? Hearing none. Commissioner Christian, I have a couple questions on the overall allocation here. It has to do with the allocation items at the top of the spreadsheet. Could you just explain a little bit why those are those are pulled out and not part of the allocation formulas in terms of the base. And what I'm talking about are things like Yellow Bay, the motorcycle program, those type of things. I know that's historically how we've budgeted for those. Can you explain why those are separate?
Mr. Chair, but I believe is how they're funded within Program 9 by the legislature. They have their own coding, I guess, for lack of a better word. Most of those flow through to us in one form or another, or we've chosen at some point in the past to allocate funds directly to those. But they're separate line items that we've maintained.
And that has to do also with the very significant line item of performance-based funding that we've had for the last couple of years, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Can you also, Commissioner, explain the difference, fairly significant difference in the numbers associated with the pay plan? We've got, is it 3.1 for fiscal year 16 and 7.1 for 17? And I apologize if you've addressed this earlier and I didn't catch it.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, that's just a product of the biennial math. You've got the increase in the first year of the biennium of $3 million, and so you need to replicate that in the second year of the biennium before you do the increase in the second year of the biennium. So it's more than doubled in the second year just by the way the biennial math works.
Okay.
So part of the second year is covering the increase that you gave in the first year and then doing an increase in the second year. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
I don't know if biennial math makes sense, but the best I can explain it, does that make sense?
Thank you. Thank you. That does make sense. Are there additional questions from the regents for the commissioner? Okay. Hearing none. At this point, I would open up to public comment. Public comment. Is there any public comment? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve this action item?
So moved.
The action item has been moved by Regent Johnstone. Are there further comments from members of the board? Are there further comments from campuses? Or further public comment? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, no. The motion passes. Thank you. I believe, Commissioner Christian, that concludes our work on this particular conference call this morning. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Well, with that, I would like to thank everybody for joining us this morning for this conference call, and with that, I would adjourn this meeting. Thank you.